This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. By the year 2050, the world population will reach 9 billion inhabitants. Existing models of natural resources exploitation will have problems in keeping up with this forecasted growth. Finding new sources of protein to supply the next generation of human beings is a critical challenge and is one that a Malaysian company is trying to solve. Today I'm speaking to Frank Dushan. He's the CEO of EntoFood. Frank, welcome to the show. First, explain to me what is EntoFood before we get into the whole technical details of what exactly are you doing in terms of finding alternative sources of protein.
Good afternoon, Jeff. So EntoFood is a new company which started in 2011. We registered in Malaysia. Upon our arrival, we are two French partners, and we ended in Malaysia to start this fantastic story and this fantastic journey on developing this innovation technology. And EntoFood is a company which is dedicated to producing innovative and sustainable source of protein, mostly meant for animal feed. So that's a big picture. Core business is to manufacture a protein source out of insect biomass. Mm. So this is, in very short, how it works. And to do so, we have been working for, this is many years of R&D project, and it all happened by a selection program of insects. Initially, I'm a biologist, and I started my career in silkworm, and after in shrimp business, in shrimp farming. And so we are quite used to invertebrate culture and farming, and we wanted to find a way to produce and raise insects in big quantities, because these animals are extremely powerful, are extremely fecund, and can be grown in a very intensive system in a small surface. So they present a large number of advantages to match with the objective we decided to develop is sustainability, reproducibility, to be able to do that in any place. And so we find and selected one insect, which we are working with today. It's a fly, it's a soldier fly. And the beauty of the model we eventually developed along the years is as a resource to feed the insects, because as any animal, it requires food, is we are using a limitless raw material, which is food waste and organic side stream.
Mm-hmm. So basically, in a nutshell, it is for finding insects that could be turned into protein, source of protein for fishes, for the next generation of chickens and cows and so forth, for animals that we consume on a daily basis. Because the worry is that we'll run out of food like this.
Exactly. Mm. So it all started with a very a sad statement. We have you mentioned previously that how fast the population is growing. On the other side, we have, of course, by the simple demography issue, we have more mouth to feed, of course. But on top of that, and luckily, the whole population is also getting wealthier and wealthier. And here in Malaysia, it's a very good and nice example where you see every year the population is more and more wealthy, and the overall demand of protein, of course, is increasing. The wealthier we are, the better food we want. Mm-hmm. And that translates into more meat, into more fish. And even in Europe, for instance, you see the fish demand is still very high. The meat consumption is outstanding. It's extremely high. So you have in all Asia, Africa, and South America, of course, a fast-growing demand for protein, for meat and fish. All these animals, today it's are mostly raised. So livestock, it's 100% raised animal. Seafood is a different story. It's more or less half of the seafood we eat today comes from farming. The rest is wild caught. But this is evolving year after year because the natural resources are, you know, fully exploited. So every time we want to eat more fish, for instance, we have to farm more. It can only come from farming. So all these animal, this mouth of animal mouths to feed has to come from raw material. So it's protein, it's wheat, it's maize, it's all these commodity products. And again, you know, our planet is limited and extension of farming areas is limited. So you have an ever-increasing demand for food for human and animal, but a growing scarcity of resource. Oceans are getting not empty, it's a big word, but you know, the capture of fish are now flattened. They are not increasing more because there is not more fish. Lands for production of soybean, for instance, we cannot keep on cutting rainforest more. And now you have, you know, with the global warming, more and more areas are getting drier, you know, soils less fertile. So today it's okay, we still can make it, but how it's going to be tomorrow? We already have, you know, like, if I'm not wrong, 500 or 700 undernourished people on the world. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow we'll have 2 more billions people on the planet. How are we going to deal with that?
And there are too many food wastages these days. You know, everyone wastes too much.
Exactly. And that's the second part of the equation is on one hand, we need more food. But at the same time, we are wasting a lot. There was a UN report a couple of years ago which stated that 1/3 of the food produced on Earth is wasted.
Wow.
So it's about, well, it's over 1 billion tons of food which doesn't end in our mouth, basically. So there is a whole bunch of region. It's not necessarily bad habits, but it happens because product get damaged during transport or at the crop or whatever, even in our fridge, some product we don't use. But that all together in the whole supply chain, it's huge amount of wastage. So this is it's a shame, of course, but also it's a burden, it's a cost. You know, dealing with all these waste is costly and extremely polluting.
Yeah.
So we manage to find a way to basically cross these two stakes or try to find a solution or with the insect to kill 2 birds with 1 stone is basically use the waste as a resource to feed a specific line of insects. That's what we are using. It's called detritivorous insects, which are meant to do that job, is to recycle organic. And once they've finished that job, so we deal with the food waste and all the organic side stream coming from the industry, for instance, will generate the insect biomass, which then we will process into protein.
What I'm keen to know is, like, you know, how do you decide, you know, which insect is, you know, available to be turned into source of protein for, you know, for animals, and how do you do it as well? But we'll find out in just a moment. I'm speaking to Frank Dushan. He's the CEO of Ento Food, and it's we're talking about finding an alternative source of protein through insects. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sando, and I'm speaking to Frank Dushan. He's the CEO of Ento Food. It's E-N-T-O Food. And we're talking about finding alternative sources for protein it's via insects. And it's quite interesting that, you know, generally when you think of a source of proteins, you would think of soybeans. You know, that's generally, you know, my mind will spring up soybeans, right? So what makes you think that insects actually are the future of, you know, the source of proteins instead of, you know, soybeans? Like you mentioned, you know, because we can't just keep planting soybeans. We can't just keep ruining forests and planting soybeans. But insects, they will never run out?
Of course not, because then we start exactly what we did, you know, thousands of years ago, when human, you know, need to eat more, you start domestication of animal. And once you domesticate a species, then you do breeding. So it's a never-ending thing. You never run out of your animals. Mm-hmm. Basically, domestication is the ability of mastering the breeding of a species to be able to work, of course, improve the performance of the animal, but to no longer rely on natural resources. So that, to answer to this question, once you domesticate and you master the breeding, then you're permanently 365 days a year, you breed them, you get offspring.
Mm. And insects grow in massive scales anyways. Right?
Exactly. Right. That's one of the beauty of insect is, first, they're extremely strong, and the animal we're working with is extremely strong animal, have a very short cycle. To give you an idea, a chicken will be harvested after 2 months of development. The insect we're dealing with, we can harvest it after 12 days.
Wow.
So they have extremely short life cycle. Mm. They are extremely fecund. Every female will lay around 900 eggs.
Wow.
So, you know, they have a lot of assets, I can say, which makes them a fantastic tool to match with this objective. And on top of it is a chicken or a fish will be able to be produced if you feed them. And that's, we come back to the problem. Then you have to crop, to use the land to crop, you know, soybean, for instance, which is mostly comes from South America or North America. Basically, the whole soybean of the world is produced in 5 countries. So the whole planet is relying on import, including Malaysia for certain type of product. So insect, on the other hand, can be raised everywhere, anywhere.
Any climate as well?
Exactly. Mm. And this is among the criteria we used during when we did our species selection. Which insect? That was a question. Yeah. Which insect are we going to work with? So we wanted one animal which is fecund, which is present everywhere, because we have in mind to develop and to roll out this technology everywhere. Nowadays, the situation of protein is it's kind of weird, but that's the way it is. It's a monopolistic system. You have fish meal. Few countries, it's maybe 15 countries around the world, you know, produce most of the fish meal needed and used. Soybean, it's 5 countries produce 90%+ of the world production, because it's because of resource, because of quality of the climate and all these things. There is a region beyond this. If we want to do this and develop sustainable solutions and new models, why not doing something you can do anywhere? Mm-hmm. Hence the insect and hence that species, which is present everywhere. So by having an insect you can find in any single country around the globe, then any day you want to roll out your technology, today we are starting already to roll out in new countries, we don't import anymore from Malaysia. Every new country we go, we just seek for the wild specimen and start a local breeding program. Mm-hmm. So then you have no issue of introducing foreign species or whatever.
All right. So let's talk about the types, because there are millions of types of insects, and specifically the one that you're working on is with a type of fly.
Yes.
And it's not the type of flies that we're sort of used to seeing, you know, hovering around our food whenever we open our packet of nasi lemak, for example. What type of fly, and actually how's the whole process then, you know, from that fly becoming food for our food?
So basically it's a you're right. It's a totally different fly. When we speak about fly, we all have in mind the house fly, you know, like you said, coming in the plate or bothering us when we take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a soldier fly. It's a very large animal. It's about 20 millimeter in length. It looks more like a wasp. It's a big animal. black in color. And among the specificity of this animal is that, and this is why it's everywhere, but nobody knows it or used to see it, because it's never get in contact with human nor animal, because the adult, the fly itself, doesn't eat. That is why the domestic fly, you know, is bothering us, because it needs to eat to reproduce and develop its eggs. This one doesn't need anything. It just live on the reserve he has gathered when it was larvae.
Wow.
So that's why he stay away from human, away from animal, and he's never getting contact with us. So he cannot be a vector of anything.
Wow.
So it's one of the good thing of this animal. You don't see it. It is not a vector of disease. It's not eating. And is again, is big in size. So hence, because the fly is so big, the larvae, you know, is quite a big grub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting for production.
And so from there, so you know, now that you've figured out that, you know, this is the great insect that we can work with, what's the process like from, you know, getting them in becoming a product that you sell or you export out to, you know, to
so
others?
So basically, all the process, how it works, it's first start, the entry point is the food waste or the organic side stream. So that's all it starts. The food waste then will be processed and make a proper food to feed the maggots, the larvae, insect larvae. So they are fed and grow. So they have a growth potential which is outstanding. They can gain almost 5,000-fold their size in less than 2 weeks.
Wow.
And at the end of their development, when they reach the biggest size, then we harvest them. And the larvae will be processed, will be dry first, and after ground to make a meal. Beyond that, we have another possibility, because this species is very particular. I told you that the adult live on the reserve, meaning the larvae will concentrate and will gather along its cycle a lot of energy to support the reproduction cycle. So you have an animal also which is extremely fat. So we can extract out of the insect biomass oil. So basically from this production, that's a beauty, because I didn't mention it yet, is when the insect have finished their job, you will have the insect itself, you will transform into protein and oil. But the digestive process of the insect, once they finish up all the food waste, all the organic side stream you have given them, they will transform it into organic fertilizer.
Wow.
So basically you start with a waste which is extremely wet, and food waste in general is wet, is water, into protein, oil, and organic fertilizer. So the whole system enabled to have 100% recycling process. It's probably one of the most powerful tool in terms of circular economy we can have. Nothing is wasted anymore.
You know, we can go on and on and on. You know, we're again running out of time. But you know, let's talk a bit about your plans here. You know, why Malaysia? Why did you decide to, you know, start this here in Malaysia? And you know, what's the plans for you? You know, after this, right now also, what's the current state of the R&D firm here in Malaysia?
Okay, so first of all, why Malaysia? So we started our very, very first steps in this research program, started in Madagascar many years ago. And shortly when we saw that we could develop this technology, we decided to move to Southeast Asia. Southeast Asia, why? Because our main objectives for the protein market is aquaculture, and between 85 to 88% of the world aquaculture occur here in Asia. Well, that's the spot for aqua feed industry. That's number one. Number two, then where to go in Southeast Asia? And you know, the big players in aquaculture, China, Thailand, Vietnam, they have a very, very big industry. But Malaysia offers a certain number of assets, we should say, which are very, very good. Of course, the climate is ideal for insect production. You know, we have a quite constant condition all year round, and that's the best condition we can have. That's one. And logistically speaking, Malaysia is probably the best country in Asia for that. You know, it's best hub, logistically speaking. Mm. And third, we found a good welcoming from Malaysia. When you are a foreign investor, when you come, you know, from the other part of the world, and coming in Asia, it's not so easy. You know, you have a culture, you don't know how the business work, and Malaysia is a very welcoming foreign investors and new technologies. And we had a fantastic welcoming from Biotech Corp, who was very enthusiastic and helped us in starting. And eventually we granted a Bionessus status from Biotech Corp. So Malaysia was certainly a great choice to start this long journey, because it's the only beginning. And from here, we will shine all over the region. So we already are starting now some rollout in other Asian countries, in Europe as well. And more will come. So over those years, we have worked through this R&D, but it's a pilot farm. It's a small production unit where today we can process from 500 to 1 kilo to 1 ton of food waste and produce about 1 ton of meal per month. It's not big. It's purely to be able to have product to run trial. You are talking about R&D. So first, our first target was to really be able and assure we can master reproduction and the life cycle of the animal. We are dealing, and we have to deal with numbers like hundreds of millions of animal per day. So you have to be good in reproduction. And number two is to make sure you have a very efficient tool in recycling your waste. And here in Malaysia, we have food waste which are quite wet, with a lot of sauce and all this liquid. And we didn't want to discard that into the environment. So we had to adapt the whole technology and make sure the animals, the insects, will recycle everything, solid and liquid fractions. So that's, you know, a very important point. We want to be as clean as possible.
And what's the vision for the
company? The vision now is, now all that is mastered, is to now to grow for big scale operation. The market is food industry. The food industry is huge. The last statement for the compound feed industry is almost 1 billion tons of food is produced worldwide for animal in general. So you need to be big enough to enter this market. If you are too small, even if your product is fantastic, nobody can use it because they need volume. So that is why we are now in the process of rolling out and doing technology transfer in new countries with investors who want to do it, who want to do that in their country and they grow in their own country. And the same for Malaysia. Now we are starting a roundtable, you know, seeking for local partners to develop this technology in Malaysia over the nation.
Mm-hmm. All right, I've been speaking to Frank Duchon, the CEO of Ento Food. They can find out a lot of information on your website, entofood.com. And it's all about, you know, finding alternative sources of protein, and it's through insects. And you can even see the insect creature as well that you're currently working on your website as well. It's very fascinating, very cool. Frank, I think, you know, we should bring you back in again to talk a lot more about, because I find this very fascinating, and it's very surprising that it's happening here in Malaysia. And wish you all the best, and hopefully we'll bring you back in a couple of months' time.
Thank you very much indeed.
This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.